Hey, comedy fans, we are back for another episode of the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me in the studio, it's one of my all-time favorite guests. Welcome back, Mike Dambra. Today's episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson, the only place you're going to see Mike Dambra, in Rochester, New York, at least this weekend. Grab your tickets to see him now at carlsoncomedy.com, and I guess we should kick it over to the studio and start the show now. Good morning, Carlson casters. I would never lie to you. One of my favorite guests of all time, one of the club's favorite performers, it's Mike Dambra, is hanging out in the studio with me. Feel free to join us in the chat if you are watching live, if you're watching or listening in your car or somewhere else. Thanks for finding us, and we hope to entertain you for the next half hour or so. Good morning, Mike.
Why are you retired?
From what?
Comedy.
Stand-up?
Yeah.
You want an honest answer?
Yes. No. Do we bullshit on this podcast? I want to know why you're retired.
Okay. Wow. Look at this. You're trying to flip the script on me right out of the gate.
I know. I'm prepared.
Okay. I love stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
More so than I love stand-up comedy, I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect the people who do it. I sit here with people who dedicate their whole lives to writing jokes, being clever, and I also, you know, am a relatively good performer.
Yeah.
I think I'm all right. But I don't feel that passion right now sit down and write and to do the stuff that goes into it. So because I don't feel that, I don't want to take up somebody else's spot.
So you're Terry Funk retiring.
I might be Kiss, dude. Who knows how many times
that's
I
true.
Come back.
That's true.
But I don't even think I've ever said on the show that I stopped performing, so you just may have broken that scoop to
everybody.
I'm
here to break all scoops this morning.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard. But you know what it is, Mike? When it comes down to it, I feel like if I'm not doing the work, then I don't deserve to be getting great spots.
Yeah.
And the people who are doing the work do deserve those spots, so yeah. I'm not going to be the person who's going to be a hindrance to someone else getting further down the road just because I can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the right way to do it.
I mean, I don't know. It's not controversial, but it seems to be. I got some people.
It is because there's a lot of fucking performers that would just say, I'm comfortable and screw you if you don't like where I am. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll take my spots when they come and the young kids don't like it. Kiss my ass.
But you know what, though? I try to be better than that. I always have tried to be better than that.
That's what I mean. So that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. Have you ever taken a break from comedy?
Oh, God. I've never taken a break from stage.
Okay.
So since 6 years old, I've never taken a break. Never. No. I take 3 days and I... When COVID first hit, and they said I had never taken more than a week. And so when it was 10 days, they said it was going to be 2 weeks. I was like, okay, this is enough. And then it turned into whatever it turned into, like a year.
And that's when... I got to be honest with you. That's when it started for me.
Yeah.
When I was like, wow, there's no pressure on me right now to have to write jokes. Yeah. There's no anything to have
I
to do any of it.
Not so. That's when I knew, like, no, there's nothing else for me. There's nothing. There's nothing else. That's it. It's all I do.
I get my attention-seeking behavior out in other ways. Like,
I have other
shows that I do and things that keep me busy. So it's not like I'm not doing things that I enjoy.
Right.
It's not like I fell into some miserable depression and was like,
no,
I'll never perform again, Mike Dambra.
Oh, no. I just wondered what was going on with the stand-up.
Yeah.
You're still out there. I just wondered.
Well, you know, I also work in a club. I get to see all the great stand-ups in the world. I get to walk in, and I get a front row seat for just the best comedy ever. I don't have to be on the stage to enjoy that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know what else I think? And you tell me if I'm wrong here. Watching stand-up comedy and learning from it and watching as much as you can and absorbing it would makes you a better comedian. It makes you – and when you perform all the time, you also don't necessarily put yourself in the place of the audience as often.
Right.
You're watching it from a performer's perspective, which tends to be kind of clinical, diagnosing it all. Me, now I walk in, I'm part of the crowd, baby. I'm here to watch the show.
Yeah.
And that's a whole liberating feeling.
It's that's a part of the art that has been lost because, like, when I started, you had to. If you didn't stay for the whole show and watch and learn, you weren't allowed on for a certain number of weeks, like on open mics and stuff. If you had to take off, they were like, okay, well, don't come back until. They wanted you to sit there and learn and watch.
So. I'll tell you the behavior that really bothers me. You know, there's a lot of open mics in town, and we do the contest once a year. When we do new comic night, even, in our Rickles room, I tell the performers, stay in the room and support each other.
Yeah.
I don't want to see you guys wandering in and out. It's not smoke break time.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you something. If you're a chain smoker and you just got off stage, go have a cigarette. Get your butt back in there and support the rest of the show.
Absolutely.
That's fine. But people just sit outside, and the performers, like, feel like they need to be in some type of green room environment at every comedy show.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting in the crowd and enjoying the craft and enjoying the business you want to be a part of.
Yeah. It's not the same anymore. I was going through a thing this last year with two new kids, guy and a girl in Alberta that swear I'm holding them down because they've got an hour. They each have an hour. It's just not the case. It's not.
Now, you're booking up there now, right?
I book stuff, yeah. I got rooms and stuff, and it's just,
yeah.
I'm not, no. I want people to keep going, otherwise this dies, right? If you don't pass the torch, it dies. The guy is horrible.
Okay.
And the girl just thinks she is it. It's not the case. So I played a casino, and the owner of the casino was there, and he wanted me back the next week because these kids were supposed to be there, and he saw clips. And he's like, I can't. I have a huge group coming in. I need you back. So they got rescheduled. They they weren't fired. They were rescheduled. And then they mouthed off and said that I was holding them back.
That makes you the devil.
It made me the devil.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I ended up going back the next week, changing a flight to get back to do that, and saving the room because it runs every week. So 104 comics still get to work every year. And these kids are mad at me.
Yeah, well, that'll teach you. I hope you learned your lesson.
I totally.
I hope you feel adequately bad for holding people down, you gatekeeping SOB.
It's so funny to me because I'm throwing new kids in my car like every week for real. So
I always appreciated that about you. You've always been one of those guys who's very kind with your advice. Not kind. You're not kind. You've always been willing to share what you think when people
ask you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I try to do the same thing for people, but it's, there's a lot of naivete in how the business actually works. And the thing is, I don't think when you're, for example, when you're booking rooms the way you book rooms.
Yeah.
Wow, this is what a thrilling conversation we're having this morning on the podcast. When you're booking rooms the way you're booking rooms, or say even like a Danny Liberto in Rochester books rooms where they're out there, a series of shows can be canceled anytime because one bad show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. People don't realize it's not an open mic thing where if you go up and you have a bad set, the open mic's still running the next night, the next week, and it just keeps going on forever. If you mess up in a business, if you mess up when people are charging for tickets, you hurt a lot of people, and you may not realize it, and, you know, comedians were selfish anyway, so.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, there's a lot of kids out there that want to reinvent the wheel. They don't understand.
Kids these days.
And it's about all of us.
Yeah.
It's about all of us.
What's the biggest mistake you think you ever made?
What's performing the performing, like, or booking?
Performing. Let's do both. I love this this introspection we're doing here.
The biggest mistake I ever made performing was blowing the light.
Okay.
When I first started headlining, middling, not emceeing. When I first started headlining, I figured, okay, well, it's my show now. And that wasn't the case, right? It just wasn't the case. Doing the time and getting off the stage and having people want more and come back for more was a lesson I had to learn. And I just thought, no, let's blow the whole wad right here. You know what I mean? Let's do it. And then you're coming back and people will come back to see you, and they're like, well, you know, that extra 15 that you did last time we saw you is now all polished, but it's really the same thing. And it was That was a big lesson, man. Especially like first show into second show where people's time had to be cut because I'm some ego-driven fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
You know, I had just had this conversation because we're doing open MC auditions with this group. We're doing open MC auditions. So people are showing up and they're going to audition. And I said, the most important thing I want you to remember, and the reason why we're so strict on the light, when for those of you who are watching this and aren't like into the stand-up behind-the-scenes jargon, the light is what we use to tell performers to get off the stage when their time is done. And the reason we throw performers off the stage is for two reasons. Number one, they suck. Or number two, because they have to change the room over for the next show.
Yeah.
If it's the late show, they're not going to light the headliner.
Yep.
The first show, however, it's a completely different animal. So, like, there's two main reasons why you would get the light if you're the headliner.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that was an important lesson for me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was rushed so much when I first started, like pushed to headliner really quick within a year. I was very quiet and wanted to learn because I got a lot of grief from other comics that have been around for decades, right?
Yeah.
But they helped. They were helping me. They were just like, shut your mouth, learn, do your job. You know, you're in this position. So I did for the first two levels, you know, when I middled and then MC'd and then boom, right to headliner within a year, I was quiet. But when I became headliner, I had that, it's my show now.
You ever thought about going back to being quiet? I'm just wondering.
No.
Okay, good.
Never. As a matter of fact, I'm fucking louder, Vinny.
I know. Mike, you know, when you take that transition so quickly like that, do you feel like you weren't ready? Like,
yeah.
You felt like you weren't ready?
Well, not that I wasn't ready to headline, because I was, but I skipped learning how to MC and how to middle, right? Yeah. So I learned how to headline, but then when people needed me for different functions, like when there was a big function where they're like, well, you're a headliner, come MC this function for us or host this function, I had no idea how to do it because I skipped so fast. So I took a part of my career where I started dipping back to learn the skills that I should have taken the time to learn in the first place.
I feel like the MC spot is the spot that requires the most specialized skill and knowledge.
It does, and a lot of people think it's just, no, I'm just the first guy.
Yeah, and it gets confused a lot because it's the least amount of time on the show.
Yeah.
So people generally think it's the you know, entry-level position, which, frankly, in our new administration here at the Carlson, that's not the case anymore.
Right. See, when I started, it was middle was your entry-level position. MC did almost as much time as the headliner.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and how I was taught was, it's your basement, it's your party. You need to quiet everyone down. You need to tell them how it's going to go. You need to set the format. You need to set the mood. You need to be able to keep their attention so that when you come back in between, they're quiet again. Because there are some MCs, they don't do it up front. So when they come back in the middle, people start talking or getting up or doing whatever. That's a skill that when you come back, they still want to see you.
You know how I always knew I did a bad job in an MC spot? Tell me if you ever notice this. I always knew I did a bad job if at the end of the show, when you go back up to close things,
yeah,
if everybody's already putting their jackets on.
They're going
if
away.
If they're already putting their jackets on, yeah. When I go back to the stage at the end, I know I did a bad job.
We were told that to keep announcements for the end, because some guys do them as soon as they can, to keep it for the end. And we would always say, what if they get up and they're leaving or whatever? And we were always told, if you're a good enough MC, they'll sit there and listen to you.
See, I didn't know that they told you to do it that way, but it makes a lot of sense to me.
You save it for the end and say, here's what's coming. So
we got a little message from our pal Kyle Malcott. He's watching live right now on YouTube. He says, I have a ton of love and respect for both of you guys. Thank you, Kyle.
He's a good kid.
He is a good kid. Appreciate that, bud. Love and respect back.
Yeah, absolutely.
MCing is bad. MCing is the quickest way to wreck a show. When you send the person right out there, the first one you hear from,
it is,
and they come out and do a bad job.
Turn the room into chaos and then not be able to get it back. so you can trash it for everybody. You can have a headliner that is the best of the best, and you torch that room before the middle even gets up, right? Now yeah. they've got 20 minutes of a middle they may not care for. You're done. The show's done.
I got to put my glasses on. I'm getting a headache over here.
I just worked with an MC that actually was very good. She's super good, very talented. And we had to tell her one of the cardinal ones where she was one of those that went, are you ready for your first comic of the night?
Oh!
Like, she's not part of the show. And we had to take her aside and go, no, no, no. You are the first comic of the night. Don't say that. Because that's when you get those comments after the show where people walk up to the MC and go, you know, someday you could be a comic too. You could be part of this too.
Who wrote the book? It's my favorite. God, why can't I remember? There was a guy who wrote a book called And You Were Funny Too.
Really?
Yeah, oh, that's the title of the book. He was a lifelong feature.
Oh.
And you were funny too.
Yeah, that's such an important.
People think they're being nice to you. That's a dick kick. You don't even realize it.
That's a horrible feeling. To be told, you know what, you can be, especially if we used to all have to stand in line before merch, but I mean, we'd all have to stand in line and shake hands when they left the room. That was in our sheet. And when they'd say that, so you're all there, and they go, you know, someday you could be, you should try it. You should try comedy.
You'll get there.
Unbelievable.
It's like, it's literally like just like the scruff on, you know, just roughing up your hair a little bit. You'll get there too, pal.
Yeah.
No thanks. I'd rather be here. I'm good.
Host is important. MC is vital.
So when you had to go back, because you had to deconstruct all this because, you know, like you said, you were headlining. You had to go back into it. What were some of the rules with emceeing that kind of surprised you? Like, were there things that you didn't think about that kind of took you by surprise?
Yeah, I never thought about not blowing the doors off. I never thought about not blowing the doors off. I always was swung for the fences.
Yeah.
Always. So on certain shows, they'd bring a new kid in the middle. I swing for the fences for 12 to 15 minutes, and this kid doesn't stand a chance in hell. And the show's shit now. Instead of building all the way, we've built, we've dipped, and now I got to start again. I shouldn't be doing a lot of time in the middle. I should be doing a couple minutes. I got to dig out the hole that I dug for this kid and then bring up the headliner who wants to murder me because I've just done double my time.
It's really funny because you don't really think about it. Like, holes could be dug two ways, folks.
Yes, right?
A hole could be dug, you know, by being great and knowing somebody can't follow you.
Yeah.
You're digging a hole for them. Or you could be terrible and the next person has to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
To dig their way back out of the hole.
But you can be good and dig just as deep, a deeper hole.
Yeah.
Because that kid's doing more time than you.
Yeah.
And you made it impossible.
They call this ring psychology, Mike.
I know.
This is the ring psychology of comedy that we're discussing here.
So the show should level up. And if you're too good and it levels down, you haven't done your job. That's not your job.
It's keeping it's setting a vibe. It's all about creating a vibe. And the most important rule is obviously be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second rule is it's not about you. It's about the audience and keeping the show as good as you can for them.
Because you want them back.
Yeah.
You want them to come back.
You know what? They will come back if you give them a good experience.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So you want them back. Do your craft. Make the magic.
Yep.
And there's no stop. And I say it, I've already said it today at least three times. Stop reinventing the wheel. It's just, it works fine.
Mike, I'm going to throw out an adage that I hear from a lot of new performers, and I'd love your opinion on it.
What?
Stage time is stage time.
The fuck?
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would react to that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Stage time is stage time.
Yeah. So, in essence, folks, what'll happen is someone will have a comedy show in Lickety Split's ice cream shop where there's no stage, there's no lights, there's no seats. Like, there's no, it's not set up for a comedy show. But yet, for some reason, somebody decided it was a great idea to do a comedy show in this ice cream spot because. We don't need to get into that psychology.
Yeah.
But when you're a young performer and they say, hey, I want to book you for my Lickety Splits ice cream social showcase.
Yeah.
And then you go, but that's not really a comedy show. This is this. And then you use this adage, stage time is stage time.
No, it isn't.
Hold on. We're getting there. I'm going to let you rebut this. I'm setting this up for the people watching. This is called broadcasting, Michael. All right? Settle down. So you use this stage time is stage time to justify putting comedy out in a poor light. See, in my world, that's not respecting stand-up.
Yeah, it's...
That's me, though. Now, you say stage time. I say stage time is stage time. You say, no, it's not. Why is it not Mike Danbro?
Because you're not... You don't benefit. I just had a kid that wrote the other day, and he said, I had the best time. I did a show for just three people in whatever, a setup like you just described. Yeah. And it was the greatest show, and it was the best time for that crowd of three people. And I wrote on his post, it said, three people isn't a crowd unless the room only holds two. That's not a crowd. It doesn't benefit the performer. It doesn't benefit the art at all, because people think that becomes their concept of what comedy is. Kids aren't learning anything. You don't learn anything performing for your friends. They're the first people that will jerk you off or kiss your ass. You don't learn anything. You don't put anything out there. You don't make comedy look good. Comedy in the corner with no lights and no sound. And don't get me wrong, I've seen 1,000 of those rooms, right? 1,000 of them. It serves no purpose. And it burns other rooms. Because other rooms that could be doing comedy that have a good setup and lights and have maybe bands, so they've got a stage, they won't touch comedy because they heard what a goddamn disaster this one was down the road at the ice cream shop.
Yeah. The thing is this. Overall, if you're new to comedy, I think that there's like this pressure to like create something for yourself or to get yourself out there. And it's misguided.
There's also that Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney fantasy of let's put on a show, right? And everyone will come and see us and we'll be stars. It's so ridiculous.
Jesus, Mike, how old are you? Did you just bring up Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney?
I just bought the box set. You fuck right off. Hey, buddy.
Who just walked in the studio?
Marky Mark.
Hey, Marky. We're doing a podcast.
I'm clapping. I'm listening in the other room.
All right.
What you guys are saying is actually spot on.
Well, Thanks, buddy.
Mark Ippolito just came in to give Danbro an applause break.
A round of applause.
Danbro's getting an applause break already at 9:24 a.m. And that means, folks, tonight's even to be hotter. So you get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com for two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow. But if I asked you a question last night, because I saw you, I watched your show, Lights Out as always. If you've never seen Mike, you don't know what's going on. We're going to hit up a couple of Facebook posts in a second, but Mike's act is very in the moment, and that's one of the things that I love about you and have always loved about you, is your show is always a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, you got jokes, but man, you could go with the crowd for hours, and it is fun, and the show, I'm telling you, if you've never seen a great crowd work comic, this is the week to go check it out. Because you're going to have a lot of fun with it. A couple comments we got on Facebook. Someone says 100% agree. I don't know why StreamYard's not showing me their names, but thank you for tuning in. And they also said, hey, guys, so are you saying if you have a great set as an MC, you may want to hold back a bit in order to keep the show's energy trending upward? Is that what you're saying, Mike?
Yeah, well, if you're a great MC, you know who's on the show. You know who's on the show, so you know how to pace it.
Yes.
You might have a middle that's the next superstar, and you know that, and you know you can swing, and the kid won't be intimidated and can follow it.
Yeah. So that's so let's break that down. What we were talking about was when you're an established performer going up there and just doing your A-plus material right out of the gate, and then you bring up somebody that you know can't follow it. So if you're in that scenario, what you want to do is be funny.
Yes.
But you don't need to kill the room.
Because you can't follow it. So you've just done a 15-minute set that nobody can follow for the next half an hour.
Yeah.
And then you've got to start all over to hand it off to the headliner.
As an MC, you should be like a Roman soldier. My duty is to roam. Yeah. Your duty is to the show. Yeah. Whatever's going to make the show the best, whatever's going to keep the show moving, whatever's going to keep everything at a good level, that's your job, kids.
As an MC, that audience should feel like you're presenting your friends. It's me and my buddies. And hey, look, because you've made them so comfortable that you're just riding the wave. Next one, next one. Hey, and here is guess who's next. And they're like, yeah, and they're into it. That's your job.
Yeah.
Make them laugh, make them feel comfortable, and make them accepting of whatever you are presenting, because you're presenting the show.
Yeah. Look at Mike Dambra giving out some very valuable advice to you young performers out there. Mike, tell me something good about what's going on with you. You're back in town. How's the family? It's nice. Always nice to see everybody at the holidays, right?
I'll kill myself.
Don't say that on YouTube. You're going to get us thrown off.
I know. My parents, God bless them, they're trying to get rid of the farm. My dad had a brain bleed last Christmas, so some of the damage permanent, you know, in 85. And I just got to the house Tuesday night, and my mother meets me at the door, and he was back in the hospital again over the weekend. And I says, what's going on? And she goes, there was no heat in the house. And I go, what? For how long? And you're Italian, you know. It's literally that generation of, well, he had to order parts, and I didn't want to bother him. I didn't want to. So the guy ordered parts and never called them back.
From Sears Roebuck?
He's waiting for them, and they're waiting on him. And I go, Ma, give me the guy's name and number. What? And the guy came the next day. So family-wise, them, God bless them. I love them so much, but. A 30-acre farm in the middle of nowhere. It's time to come in with the people. Come in with the people. Come this way.
Get a little bit closer to society.
And then you know the other thing. I mean, my daughter, God bless her, and I'm not allowed to talk about the court case, but I haven't seen her since February, and you guys have a local celebrity here that decided to get vocally involved and fly out and take pictures and upset my parents and then basically mocked my parents about getting upset about it, so... When I got here.
What a terrible thing. Who would do something like that?
Yeah. So when I got here, I said, okay, well, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Because I, like you said, I'll go in the moment. And I've been told before, don't talk about so-or-so or so-or-so.
Yeah.
One time, Lonsberry's story popped right before the show started. And Mark looked at me and he goes, cuz, don't. It just popped. And I go, okay. He goes, please.
The one about Bob and the lady?
Yeah. And I says, okay. And I walked on stage and literally, I said, did you guys fucking hear about Bob Lonsberry? I didn't say hello. I didn't say, how are you? I started right away. So your little local afternoon radio celebrity here may want to shut her mouth.
Former morning show celebrity?
Former morning show celebrity. Because she just tweeted yesterday asking for the Buffalo Bills head coach to be fired because he had some anti-Semitic remarks 4 years ago that he took responsibility for and apologized for, which is funny because a month and a half ago she was in Jasper with a woman that 4 years ago posted a blackface picture and of herself and thought it was funny. But she can hang out with that one, so It's pick as you pick racism. It's so if I like you, you can be racist.
So I hate cancel culture. I hate everything about it. I hate getting involved in it. And if anybody's tweeting that somebody should be fired because they don't like something that they said, my stance is live by the sword, die by the sword.
Exactly.
That's it.
So you want to be a hypocrite?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's show people who you hang out with then. Because if that's a firing offense and he took responsibility, let's talk about this person you're hanging with that takes no responsibility.
Live your life on that one, Mike. But I would be very upset for the other reasons that you have there. So, I mean, pal, I'm sorry to hear about all that.
And, you know, it's in Canada. Here's something you may not know. But in Canada, if a kid turns 14, they're old enough to work. If they're old enough to work, the Canada courts look at it as...
They make them go to the maple mines.
You're old enough to make your own decisions. So even if my ex-wife and I were together and my daughter decided, I want to go live in the park with my friends, we would have to take her to family court. to get a judgment to bring her back.
So that she can't live
because
in the park.
At 14, the worst time of a kid's life when you're making your worst decisions, Canada says, make them all. So I'm fighting that battle.
I feel like the Canadians are mentally stronger than us, though.
It's so weird. So, yeah. You know, you get a loudmouth that comes flying in and then posting the whole trip on X and on Instagram and on guess what I'm doing and guess what this is. You know, I got some things to say about it. That's how my family is.
Oh, boy. Hey, listen, our Facebook user friend is back with a follow-up question. And since I'm feeling squirrely, they said, I understand that. Great advice. However, if you're an unestablished performer trying to become established, where is the line? Well, my advice would be, if you're ever in a situation when you're unsure of a situation like this, I would ask the other people on the show or ask the headliner or ask the manager of the club that you're at, you know, but generally know who you're performing with.
Well, I'm going to be rude, and I don't mean to be rude, but no, I really don't, but I'm just going to be very blunt. If you're an unestablished performer, you should be swinging for the fences, and believe me, you don't have 15 where someone can't follow you. That's the reason you would be fucking unestablished. You don't have 15 that someone can't follow yet. Otherwise, when you do, you're established, my friend.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you looked over and saw headliner's eyes, like, before they had to come on after you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good feeling, right?
Yeah. But I had one guy take me by the arm to the booker and sit me down and go, not this guy. And she goes, he's not doing the job. And he goes, no, he's doing my job. And then the next time around, I headlined. I had Cleveland Improv went in for my audition, and your audition week was as MC.
Yep.
And the next night moved me, sat me down with the headliner and said, just so you know, he's getting headliner pay all week, but you're going to headline. He can't follow you. And the guy goes, this was my idea. And I got bumped for the rest. That was my my audition week.
So. The first time I ever had something like that happen, it was a road show with Liberto. Liberto wasn't there, but the guy who was the MC, I was in the feature spot. I went up and crushed this room, Mike.
Yeah.
Crushed this room. And I looked over, and the headliner had a guitar on, strapped on, and they were just going like this.
Yeah.
And I saw him like whispering to the MC. And then the MC went up and did like 15 minutes.
Yeah, because he wanted a gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, between that energy and what he was about to do.
So here's the thing you got to remember. On all stages of the show, the feature, the headliner, the MC, they could all be in very different stages of their careers. It could be a new headliner. It could be a new feature. You just have to know who you're performing with if you're in that spot.
And you'll learn who you're performing with if... And we're going to go full circle here, back to the beginning of the conversation.
If you pay attention!
And stay at the show and learn. Then there you go.
Sorry for yelling, guys. I get a little intense sometimes.
Stay and learn, man. Stay and learn. Maybe. But believe me, if you're unestablished, do your best. God bless you. Do your best.
So, Mike Danber, where can people follow you on social media these days?
Oh, what is there? There's Instagram. There's... Don't do the Twitter or the X, because that's just me bitching about airports. That's all I do is troll about the airports, because I live there now. There's Facebook fan page. There's a Facebook regular page. There's a Instagram page. And then...
Grace's Funny Dad?
Yeah, Grace's Funny Dad.
At Grace's Funny Dad.
Yeah.
Follow some Mike Danbra, and come see him. He's going to be here for 4 more shows this weekend. He's home for the holidays. And you will be right at home at the show, I promise you. You're going to have a blast. And Mike's going to be back around. Here's the cool thing about your show. You got a lot of frequent flyers, man.
Yes.
People love your show.
I know. It's like last
What a
night,
shame.
I know. Last night we had people leaving and buying tickets for Saturday. So they'll come back 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah. You're like crack.
I am like crack. Yeah. If you were at my show last night, he was in the front row.
Cheap and addictive. All right, Mike Danbra, thanks for coming to
this
morning.
Thanks, buddy. Love you. You know that.
I love you too, man. Right. You know that as well. So we're going to be back next week with another episode. I believe my guest is going to be Chris Allen, another hometown Rochester guy who is absolutely crushing it all over the country. And we'll see you at the show this weekend. Act Right Rochester. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.